I'm John Batchelor. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, is my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. We're headed to the asteroid Ryugu on the shoulder of the probe Hayabusa 2. And our guide is Jason Davis. He is the digital editor for the Planetary Society. Highly recommended to watch Hayabusa at the Planetary Society. He also contributes to NBC News. He's the co-creator of Rocket Gutted, which is a website for space, art, and culture. Mr. Davis, this is exciting. Hayabusa 2 is parked near enough to Ryugu so that we get very good images of this space rubble asteroid. But the most thrilling is Minerva 1 and Minerva 2, which Mr. Livingston tells me I should say are hoppers. I've been choosing the term bouncers. How do you refer to Minervas? Good evening to you, Jason.
Hey, good evening to both of you. Thanks a lot for having me. So I've been using the term rover, and I know that's a little controversial too, but that's what the Japanese team is calling them. And I guess their rationale there is that these things technically move, so that classifies them as a rover. But of course, when you think of a rover, at least when I think of a rover, I think of like a Mars rover, a car-sized thing that's driving around. So, sometimes I say hopper, but I guess rover is the official term I've been using in my stories.
David?
How high up are they deployed from, and how long does it take them to actually get down to the surface? Are they using propulsion to get down, or how do they get down?
Yeah, so they just free fell to the surface. Hayabusa 2 has this home position because the gravity is so weak on Ryugu, it's only a kilometer wide. So it kind of has this parking spot about 200 meters above the surface where it stays a lot of the time. Anyway, it closed into about 60 meters and just kind of spit them out, and they just kind of free fell gently down to the surface. Now, after they land and they start hopping, supposedly they can hop up to about 15 meters at a time, and that takes about 15 minutes for them to kind of go up and fall back down. So it's kind of this very slow motion process there.
We have preliminary information from the Japanese, whom I'm told are careful, and they're not flooding us with news. Have you seen anything surprising about this rubble pile, a kilometer-wide rubble pile, which would have a very bad day in Paris if it ever hit us, but it doesn't look particularly threatening. Anything fresh that we've found from Minerva so far, Jason?
No, the only thing that they've really told us from the Minerva rovers, or hoppers, if you will, have been pictures. I think they've sent home three pictures now. There's supposed to be another press conference tonight that are going to possibly reveal more pictures, but so far that's all we've heard. They do have temperature sensors on them, but no data from those have been released yet.
Right. Tonight is Japanese time, so we're on the opposite side of the world, and we're talking about an asteroid that's somewhat distance from us. David?
There's something called a mascot toolkit. So what is that all about? Can you tell us a little bit about mascot?
Yeah, so it's also in the class of these small spacecraft that are going to get dropped on Ryugu. This is more of a box. The Minerva spacecraft are kind of like I called them cheese wheels, but then some people pointed out, well, cheese wheels come in a lot of different sizes. Maybe like a snare drum is a good comparison for Minerva. Anyway, mascot's a little bit bigger than that. Maybe a small microwave would be a good comparison. It's about 10 kilograms. It has four instruments, and it'll be deployed the same way. It just gets dropped down onto the surface. It can jump one time. It's got four different instruments, so it's a little bit more extensive than the Minerva rover. Sorry.
The photographs that are showing they've given one photograph, several photographs, and we're going to get more. What are you watching for, Jason? What is fresh for the Planetary Society to highlight in these photographs? Nothing better for PR than a picture.
Yeah. Well, I'm always interested in the question of scale, and it's difficult to make out what kind of scale we're talking about when, you know, these pictures were taken. There's kind of a motion blur in it because the spacecraft is moving. yeah, what I think everyone's looking for, at least some of the stuff we're interested in, is a close-up kind of the surface to really see close-up what the properties of the surface are. Because that's going to be really important when the spacecraft itself goes in to take a sample. Since it's this loose rubble pile, there's just a lot of debris on the surface in these boulders that are different shapes and sizes, and it's going to make it really hard to get the spacecraft in there and grab a sample without damaging the spacecraft, like banging one of its solar arrays off of one of these boulders or something. So I guess one of the thing I would like to see is a nice, clear, flat spot where giving us hope that the sample collection will go off without a hitch.
David?
What is the origin, since it's referred to as a rubble pile, what's the origin of this small asteroid?
I don't know that has been determined conclusively. It is a main belt asteroid, so in theory it would have formed around the same time of other asteroids in that class, around the origins of the solar system.
What is the expectation of that? What is the mission statement, and what do they hope to achieve, Jason?
Yeah, so they will collect a small sample and bring it back to Earth in 2020. So the sample collection itself will happen next month. At least that's their nominal schedule. They have had at least one rehearsal. I think another one is planned early next month. They're going to move in a little closer to the asteroid, just the same way they're going to do when they actually take the sample and back off of it. If they, assuming that all goes well, and by 2020 they'll send this small, it's like a return entry capsule that'll land in Australia, and they'll try to tease apart what some of the surface properties are of these asteroids or of this asteroid. One of the reason sample return like this is so interesting is because these asteroids tend to be very well preserved indicators of what the solar system was like a long time ago. And there's also some neat tie-ins with NASA's OSIRIS-REx mission. The Japanese and the Americans are actually going to trade some of the samples. So we'll get some in the Johnson Space Center Curation Center, and they'll kind of sit next to, or at least in the next room, from OSIRIS-REx. And in return, the OSIRIS-REx team is going to give the Japanese team some of the samples it brings back. So, yeah, so if all goes well, the Hayabusa 2 samples will be back on Earth in 2020, and it'll be a couple more years before OSIRIS-REx comes home.
David?
Does Japan have any follow-on missions like this planned, or what are they doing next? This has been pretty dramatic and cool. What's their follow-up?
I don't know that they have another Hayabusa mission planned or another sample return mission planned. So I guess I have to punt on that one. I'm not sure about what their follow-up plans are.
I want to concentrate on the drama just here at the end, because when you approach a moving body like this, which is unstable, the low gravity makes it unstable, you're risking the spacecrafts. You're risking everything. Is that a concern right now for the JAXA team or for people who wish them the best?
I think it is a concern. Initially they had planned to take multiple samples because they wanted kind of a diverse collection from different spots on the asteroid. And then when the first, they got there, they took images, collected a lot of data about the properties of the surface, they realized it was going to be pretty hairy when they got in there with different, like you said, this small body does lots of weird gravitational things that they can't model very well. So they decided, rather than from picking samples from multiple places, to just go with one kind of all or nothing sample collection. So yes, they're definitely concerned about it. They did this touchdown rehearsal where, they kind of moved in to see if it was going to go well. They had some problems with that even. And, when they describe something that's going on with the mission, it can, sometimes things get lost in translation. So us in the English speaking world are like trying to, you know, understand what's being said. So it wasn't entirely clear why the touchdown rehearsal didn't go well, but it definitely seems like this is going to be a dicey operation. And they had problems with the first mission as well, the first Hayabusa mission. So, it's definitely not a, a clear cut case of how well everything's going to go. It's a high drama to say the least.
Jason Davis is the digital editor for the Planetary Society. He's a contributor for NBC News, and he is a co-creator of the website Rocket Gut, space art and culture website. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, we wish the JAXA, the Japanese Space Agency, very good luck when the sample return nears. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.